Here's your WTMJ 5-day forecast. Mostly cloudy, breezy, rain overnight into tomorrow and maybe even Thursday morning. High today 53, overnight low tonight 48. Showers early Thursday, mostly cloudy 54, partly cloudy 53 on Friday. Partly to mostly cloudy Saturday 55, and then a slight chance of rain again on Sunday, high of 58. 43 in Madison, 49 in Green Bay, and 48 in Milwaukee. I'm Connie Weber, Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 10:08.
We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to the Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on the upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Wednesday. Business headlines. That's what we're going to do on the upswing today. I love this show. You know, just kind of a fast and furious look at all the business happening all around greater Milwaukee. The Wednesday show with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. What's on tap here? Well, what's new at Northwestern Mutual? What's slick in Wauwatosa? Molson Coors' biggest seller? And how were their third quarter sales? We'll dive into that. Stratec makes some big moves. Ooh, a new teammate here at Good Karma. We'll talk about that when we... we'll talk a little bit about celebrity and sports later in the show. Oconomowoc keeps on growing. A local company is healing concussions. And at the end of the show, we're going to talk about how we take notes. What's the best kind of to-do list out there on our phone and what you're using, what works, kind of what gets you through the day-to-day, and specifically from a reporter standpoint, how Rich Kirchen manages his day and takes notes and makes all the magic happen on the news side. So much on our list. We'll do our best to get through it all. Oh, wait, another thing. As I was driving in this morning, local Dairy Queen is finally getting a facelift. I'll give you the scoop on that one there, Rich Kirchen. But let's first go to up.
Now it's time for the
2 up
on the upswing.
So right out of college, I wanted to work in sports. I had an internship for at the Marquette Athletic Department. I interned for the Milwaukee Bucks. I wanted to work for a professional sports team. I wrote every professional sports team I could. Like, every team got no jobs. But ended up getting a job in Milwaukee County. It was adjacent to the Brewers. And, you know, found my way into the sports profession. But if you want to do this the easy way, tomorrow at Lambeau Field, there's a walk-in job fair from 4 to 6 p.m., a wide variety of positions available for job seekers that want to be a part of the football experience, seasonal Packers game day roles and guest services and security. On-site interviews will be conducted at the job fair tomorrow at Lambeau, which will be held at the Atrium Eateries, Lambeau Field A. And the Lambeau Field lot 4 is where you want to park, right adjacent to Oneida Street there. So applications will be taken on the spot. You got to be 16 years old for the guest services positions and security positions. A lot of different job opportunities at Lambeau. You never know where it might lead. So like everyone, they're looking to make sure they're filling all the roles as we head into the busy holiday season and for the rest of the big football season up at Lambeau. So all the information, additional information you want on the job fair is at packers.com/employment. Second up, how's your streaming budget looking these days? I just added $9.99 a month to the Sherman family budget, Rich. I had to watch the Marquette game last week, so I had to subscribe to Hulu. I'll probably cancel it, but that seems to be a big trend. Now, streaming is kind of just like cable, but everyone's bundling. You know, Netflix, the streaming giant, said Tuesday that its ad-supported tier now reaches 70 million users around the globe, compared with 40 million back in May. And the growth trajectory obviously is huge, but more people are subscribing to Netflix for a month or two, canceling for a month or two and then jumping back in and kind of waiting for that deal to happen. But Netflix isn't doing as much bundling as the other services, but the other services are seeing this and partnering and finding ways to consolidate and give one price point to get multiple services. Also interesting, Netflix kind of diving back into the live sports game. You don't have to have an additional fee, but on Friday you can watch Mike Tyson and Jake Paul in kind of a high-profile publicity stunt, a little boxing match on Netflix. So they're getting into the live sports game, kind of an old-fashioned cable model right there. Like, hey,
pay-per-view.
I don't want to miss this pay-per-view event. I'm already a customer. So I think you're going to see a whole lot more of these type of events on Netflix and all services. Americans with a streaming subscription are spending an average of $61 a month now for four services, and that's an increase of an increase from $48 just a year ago. All right. Well, whatever you're streaming this weekend, enjoy it. When we come back, what's new downtown at Northwestern Mutual? Business headlines with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich and I, a lot of business headlines to go through for the show today. Rich, downtown Milwaukee, there's a new convenience at Northwestern Mutual. On Monday morning, they unveiled kind of a new convenience store at its downtown campus. What do you know about this in terms of the retail mix? Who runs it? Who owns it? And I'm hearing there's a couple new local coffee options there as well.
Well, it's called the Mutual Market.
Oh,
so,
I like it.
You know, they dug deep for that one. it is in their Tower and Commons, which is the quote-unquote new tower that opened a number of years ago on Mason Street, 4,000 square foot store. It is actually run in partnership with U-Rest, which is part of Compass Group North America in Charlotte. And it has a lot of the things you'd expect to see at this kind of store: snacks, beverages, grab and go, gifts, and then Northwestern Mutual branded items, which you probably can't get at your 7-Eleven. they have some local products: Milwaukee Pretzel, Nutman Company, Sprecher Brewing. As part of this, they are moving. There's been a Starbucks in that Tower and Commons since it opened, and they're going to be moving that, I think, next year to the east end of the building and have a new entrance for that.
Okay, yeah, and there'll be a new outdoor space, I think, for Starbucks.
Yes.
I mean, that Starbucks has always been open to the general public, too. So I think the new marketplace now is adding a couple local coffee brands as well. So they're kind of taking that approach that, hey, come into the space, whether you work at Northwestern Mutual or not, maybe you live downtown, maybe you work downtown. This is a marketplace open for everyone. And I think it'll be an interesting concept, especially if the prices are somewhat in line with the other places in the area. It's a good place to just grab and go. They have some ready-made meals for dinner. I mean, I think it's a really good option. There's not a lot of those type of options downtown Milwaukee.
Right. There's no convenience store on that end of downtown. So that being said, they're also pretty close to the lake, so they're not going to get a lot of fish coming in to buy tobacco products. No, I'm sure they don't sell tobacco products.
No tobacco there.
Not at the life insurance company. Or maybe it's an idea.
Yes, indeed. Well, speaking of kind of new renovations, I mentioned at the opening of the show, I was driving down Hampton this morning, and I saw that old Dairy Queen that is on Hampton, right on the border there of Glendale and Whitefish Bay.
Near Estabrook Park.
Indeed, yeah. The Bay DQ family-owned and operated Dairy Queen franchise that dates back to 1950. It's getting an update. I kind of like Dairy Queen. I thought I liked that synergy with, I'm like, all right, This is a Warren Buffett thing. If he invests and he sees that Dairy Queen's a good thing, I feel I can go to Dairy Queen occasionally. But whenever you drive past that, I'm like, wow, that building kind of looks outdated. So I called yesterday. They said it's just getting a facelift. It's going to look pretty inside and out now. So it'll be good to kind of give some new life to that Dairy Queen on Hampton. For sure.
Yeah, it's a small store. So, yeah, the lines usually go outside because there's only room for two or three people
exactly,
inside.
Exactly, yes. All right, what else is new at Northwestern Mutual? I saw that they closed on a new fund to invest in some middle market firms.
Yeah, well, Northwestern Mutual makes money two ways. One, through premiums from people like us.
Yes.
Two, by investing. They have a huge investment business, and one part of that is their private market investment fund, sort of a private equity fund. They just raised $473 million for their latest fund, and they're going to be looking for small to mid-sized businesses to invest in.
Hmm. All right. That's good. I mean, it's, you know, having that diversity and being able to kind of look into the box, especially locally, to make investments, strategic investments in companies that need to grow from a recruitment and retention standpoint, it's really important to have kind of the corporate forces in our market being a part of what we do here.
I'm sure they're going to be looking throughout the country and also Europe, it turns out. So that being said, yeah, it's another possible source of capital for companies in Wisconsin.
Very good. All right. When we come back, Slick and Slide in Wauwatosa, we'll give you the scoop on Wisconsin's first Slick City Action Park. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Business headlines on this Wednesday. Wisconsin's first Slick City Action Park has 11 giant indoor slides, and it could be opening very, very soon. What do you know about this, Rich? Just the location, and I don't know, it seems to kind of fit into the trend of this, like, entertainment explosion that we're seeing around the area.
Yeah, it's not just Chuck E. Cheese anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, this it's sort of an out-of-the-way location. It's in Wauwatosa near Highway 100, Mayfair Road, and Watertown Plank, but it's sort of tucked in behind there. If you sort of have to go west on Watertown Plank to 113th, and then a couple three blocks to the north, and then you find the Slick City, not only with the 11 slides, but also go-karts.
Okay.
So, yeah. Big fun.
Yeah.
For all ages.
Couple basketball courts, kind of a junior area with a bunch of different, you know, the swings and the trapezes and the zip line and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's interesting. I remember back in the day, you had, like, I don't know, these complexes that had all these types of kind of physical activities. You could get in the batting cage. You could shoot hoops, like. And, you know, this is just an evolution of that in all in one. But you can also get some good food, too. It's 52,000 square feet. It's the second largest one in the country, which will be interesting to just see from a capacity standpoint. You know, you got to book events. You got to book birthday parties. You got to make sure that you can drive the business to these locations.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a heavy investment, that size building and then equipping it. Putting in all the food service, just heating and cooling the place, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's food and drink for sure, but it's that entertainment experience. You're going for the entertainment, and then you're hoping you can sell additional food and drink. Speaking of drink, Molson Coors earnings were released recently. What do you know about their third quarter revenue? And I got to ask you if you know what their best-selling brand was in the third quarter.
Well, thanks to the story by Drew Dawson on our staff, I can't tell. I should answer that question first. It's Coors Banquet.
Ah, yes.
Which they're listing as one of their core brands now, along with Miller Lite and Coors Light, which traditionally, you know, in recent years have been their top sellers. So seems to be some retro novelty interest in that. But their sales were down about 8% over the summer. Their top brands weren't down as much, about 1%. But Gavin Hattersley, their CEO, says that U.S. just usually summer, of course, is a time when people are drinking more beer. Mm-hmm. And they're just saying sort of the economy is causing people to go to less expensive brands, which they make, Molson Coors does, but they don't make as much money on those.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely seems like consumers are, you know, probably scoping out the cheaper beverages, but like you said, it's not the biggest core of their business and not as high margins on those products for Molson Coors. But it's good to see the old school Coors Banquet kind of come back into the picture. They said among its 15 biggest brands, it gained market share in the last 13 consecutive quarters.
Yes.
So it's coming on strong. You got that old school glass bottle, and there's a little retro fun there to the Coors Banquet brand for sure. All right. I want to talk a little bit about Stratech Security Corporation. For those not familiar with the company, give us an overview of what Stratech does. I'm seeing more and more Stratech in the headlines at Business Journal and other places.
Well, Stratech is located on Good Hope Road in Glendale, about 33rd and Good Hope Road. Used to be part of Briggs & Stratton. Mm-hmm. It was split off, I think, in the 90s. At any rate, they are an automotive supplier, maybe the biggest one in the metro area. They make automotive lock sets. In other words, they make everything from key fobs to, door openers, latch openers, and they have a plant in Glendale with about 170 employees who are represented by the Steelworkers Union. They make components there and ship them for assembly to Mexico, where they have multiple plants and about 3,000 employees.
And they've had some changes on the upper level in terms of a new chief financial officer and otherwise.
Well, a new CEO, Jennifer Slater, started this summer. And she's, as all new CEOs do, conducting a review of their business, how to be more efficient, including looking at their manufacturing footprint, mm-hmm. which always makes you a little nervous when it's Wisconsin union labor versus Mexico. But they're just starting their process, to look at it.
Welcome back to the Upswing Business Headlines. Senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen, joins us in studio. Always appreciate Rich's time on these Wednesday shows. So, Rich, I deeply appreciate the strong legacy of family-owned businesses all across Wisconsin, especially in Metro Milwaukee. Here, there's so many legacy families that have been doing things the right way for a long time. But there's interesting succession planning and dynamics and lessons learned. So Business Journal kind of put together and curated a group of family-owned business leaders in the area. What was learned at this session?
Yeah, we had everyone from, small family businesses like Ellen Becker Investment on up to Marcus Corporation, mm-hmm. with Greg Marcus, hundreds of millions of dollars annual revenue, thousands of employees. A couple of things that jumped out, and these are nothing new for family business. I mean, my parents had a business, and I know a lot about that stuff. Right.
What did your parents do?
Oh, God.
Give us
the
Rich
Kirchen. We're going to be here a long time.
Give us the Rich Kirchen business story.
My stepdad ran a microfilm service bureau that he founded in the 70s and ran until into the 2000s made some of the transition toward digital copying, but ended up selling the business at a discount. No one from my generation wanted to. We all worked there times because it's a family business.
Right.
So you have to.
Exactly.
But no one wanted to take it over.
Yeah. But I mean, that what you just said happens on a large scale too. Like, the family dives in at some level, but then at a certain point to ascend to management or ownership, that's something You got to have those deep discussions.
So, I mean, and that was one of the topics discussed at the Business Journal roundtable was there were some businesses in the room who said, yeah, my kids don't want to take over. So we're trying to figure out our next move.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to sell it? What are we going to do? In the case of Marcus Corporation, that's pretty remarkable. You had Ben Marcus, the founder, Steve Marcus, and now Greg Marcus.
Yeah.
And I know I did a story actually maybe a year and a half ago about some of these large family-owned businesses in southeast Wisconsin, and I know the Marcus family's hoping to keep theirs. The other one is the family dynamics. Yeah, I remember right. My mom and stepdad talking business, you know, when they got home, and so you can't avoid it if it's the family business. But they did talk about, you know, you do your best to separate family and business, but you can't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that discussion's always going to come into the kitchen table no matter what. And, you know, it could oftentimes has really good implications for kids down the road. I know Milwaukee Bars and Rec was at this session. I yes. had the owners on a couple weeks ago, and Marla said, you know, they sit around with their 10-year-old son at dinner table, and every now and then they're going to talk about ROI and how much they're making on a certain product. And she said that her son, just because of that, now knows what ROI means. He knows what triple net lease means because he hears us talk about those things at dinner. I think that makes him not only more interested in business, but also just interested in business in general. So family business, without a doubt, has implications across the, kind of across the board, especially at our family dinners. All right. Speaking of family and legacy, I have to mention this. Barry Alvarez is now a teammate of ours here at Good Karma Brands. We also share a title, talk show host.
You guys are just thick as thieves.
Even though,
man,
I'm a Marquette guy, I embrace the Barry Alvarez. Well, and his legendary impact in Wisconsin and what he's going to bring to Good Karma. So listen for Barry at ESPN Madison. He'll serve as a brand ambassador for Good Karma Brands. And it's really exciting to have kind of his not only just his passion and energy, but his connections and all that he brings to the table here at Good Karma Brands. And I think it's great for the state of Wisconsin as a whole. All right. When we come back, what's new at Pabst Farms? We'll give you an update as what's happening in Oconomowoc. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Bucks got a win last night, despite the fact that Dame Lillard was on the bench in concussion protocol, and we're going to talk about a local company that's having some impact on kind of healing concussions. We'll do that in a minute, but wanted to get Rich's update as to what's happening out at Pabst Farms, just an exploding area out there on so many different levels, but a groundbreaking is scheduled for next spring for a new project.
Yeah, it's in Pabst Farms Commerce Center, which is a more industrial warehouse kind of area of the massive Pabst Farms development. It's a developer from Chicago, HSA, which has done a lot of projects in southern along the I-94 south of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, Racine, Kenosha. Now they're looking to the west, and building, it's about 260,000 square foot, what's called a spec building, which means they're putting it up and then they're hoping to get some tenants. I'm sure they're looking for them already.
Yeah.
They can take up to 4 tenants in this space.
Okay.
It all depends. It'll be warehouse or light industrial. They don't have any tenants at the moment.
All right. Very good. And the groundbreaking scheduled for spring of 2025. So a local company is doing a lot of work around finding innovative solutions for concussions and kind of concussion protocols. You had a really good story a couple of weeks ago regarding this company. Tell us all about it, where it is, and maybe who are some of its lead investors?
Well, the company is in Sussex, in Waukesha County, and it's called Sussex IM. IM is for injection molding, and they have been around, I think, since the 70s or 80s. But in recent years, and they're a local family-owned business, mm-hmm. about 70 million sales, about 400 employees. They've been, we're involved in the development and now the manufacturing of a product called the Q-Collar.
Okay.
Which is primarily for athletes to use, and which the company they're contracting with say aids in protecting athletes' brains from the effects of repetitive subconcussive head impacts.
Hmm.
So if you think of Tua from the Dolphins and Brett Favre, and all the concussions they've had.
Yeah.
I mean and they're selling this to youth athletes on up to pro. They have a couple of endorsements, so to speak. Tony Pollard from the Tennessee Titans is the biggest name on the list. The product hit the market about 3 years ago.
Okay.
They're making 50,000 of them this year, and next year they think it's going to be 100,000. It's available at some Dick's.
Okay.
Sporting Goods and Shields.
So it's a consumer facing
product. And Amazon. It is consumer facing,
okay.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would seem like sadly, kind of a good target market to go after. There's not a lot of products out there for concussion protocols. I mean, obviously, you want to talk to your doctor, you want to go through the process, but to have, an apparatus that can, keep your head steady and kind of monitor the symptoms is really important.
Right. It's the helmet can protect your skull.
Yeah.
But, this is part of, efforts to find other ways of protecting athletes in contact sports in particular, but also they said volleyball is one of their markets.
Hmm. All right. Yeah. Volleyball. And then, you got to think soccer too.
Oh, yeah.
There's
sure.
always that impact.
I didn't want to say soccer's not a contact sport because soccer players will tell you that it is. But yes, soccer is another market.
Very good. All right. When we come back, an update on Rockwell, and we're going to talk about how kind of the ever changing note taking abilities on our phones, how Rich takes notes throughout the day, and I got some insights as to what's coming to your home from Apple. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, your tour of business headlines with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich, you had some reporting on a revenue slowdown at Rockwell and the impacts there. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, their revenue was down about 20% in the last quarter, which is a lot.
Hmm.
And with that, throughout the year, they've been reporting that they're reducing their headcount worldwide. They have about 3,300 employees in the Milwaukee area.
Yeah.
Earlier in the year, it was 3% cut, then 6%. Now they're saying it was 12% throughout the course of the year ending on September 30th, which is about 3,000 employees. They're not releasing a number for what the impact is in their Milwaukee and Mequon operations.
Okay. All right. So when you're out and about doing story development, how are you taking notes? Are you using your phone or your laptop? Or are you still kind of kicking it old school with pen and paper?
Old school, baby.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and my new boss, Tim Gibbons, just complimented me on that last week. So I must be doing something right.
All right, that's
good. Because reporters these days aren't necessarily doing that. But depending on the interview, I'm recording it as well. But I do take notes.
Yeah. All right.
Handwritten notes.
Okay. All right. I love and respect that. I have gone all in the last probably 5 years on Apple Notes, and Wall Street Journal had a big story about kind of the explosion of the shareability of Apple Notes and how it's just become this like place for us to deposit our thoughts. And now it's shareable. You can add video, you can add audio. And I went back and looked at my Apple Notes account. And now it's great because I can see it on my laptop. I can see it on my phone. And it's really become this like space where I not only show planning, but all my outlines, personal notes, everything is in one place. And that's really what Apple Notes has become for many now, and it's become this really interesting business tool that's also kind of fun and shareable, like social media. So I would highly suggest you dive into Apple Notes a little bit, and I'll start sharing maybe some of our show docs on Apple Notes, and that might get you off that pen and paper.
I don't have an Apple phone, but go right.
Okay,
ahead.
All right, Maybe that's coming for a holiday gift for you. We'll see.
But thanks, Jeff, in advance.
Speaking of Apple, quick story from Bloomberg yesterday. Apple is aiming to catch up with its rivals in the smart home market and kind of nearing the launch of a new product category, a wall-mounted display that can control appliances, handle video conferencing, and use AI to navigate all your apps. So Apple is coming stronger into the home. The company's gearing up to make an announcement as early as March next year, according to Bloomberg. The product, codenamed J490, will also spotlight the new Apple Intelligence AI platform. And the people who asked not to be identified because the work is confidential are saying that this is going to be kind of the innovative Apple home product that a lot of people have been looking for. So something to keep an eye on for sure, because, you know, we all need more technology in our homes for sure. So what are you working on for the rest of the week, Rich? I know we're coming up on, 3 years of the kind of the anniversary of the tragedy at the Waukesha Christmas Parade, right?
Yes, there's a ceremony planned for next week on the 21st at the new Waukesha Parade Memorial at Grady Park. And I reached out to a couple of the manufacturers in the area that are making the largest part of the monument. It's a steel
memorial.
Yeah. Sort of heart-shaped and 18 feet tall, heart-shaped, and 24 feet wide. Hmm. So the general contractor, VJS, subcontracted with a company in Jackson called Cost of Wisconsin. They make things, displays, statues, whatever, for theme parks, museums, zoos, other types of operations. So they took 40-foot long steel whatever parts, mm-hmm. and they fabricated them, and then they shipped them down to a company called Max Weiss on the northwest side of Milwaukee on Bradley Road, and they specialize in bending metal.
Okay.
And they bent them into the shape, ultimately, that will create this sort of multi-3D heart statue. Shipped it back to Jackson to sort of do the final work.
Okay.
And it's actually been erected. They put it up last week at the park, and it's out there. And the final sort of unveiling and ceremony will be on the 21st. And, you know, the companies feel good that they can give something back from this awful event that happened 3 years ago.
And I'd like to see that regional collaboration, too, between Milwaukee and Waukesha. All right, thanks for being with us today.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Wisconsin's first Slick City Action Park, featuring attractions like 11 giant indoor slides, hopes to open before Thanksgiving. The location will also have 2 air basketball courts and a zip line. Johnson Level and Tool is closing its Mequon plant and will lay off 45 people. The company said it will wind down manufacturing, but retain product design, engineering, and innovation at the site. Discovery World has tapped John Emmerich as its next president and CEO. He succeeds Brian Werner, who the museum said reached a mutual and amicable decision to depart the organization. I'm Drew Dawson from MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.